Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to return to your word and be able to study these words of encouragement. Help us now as we do that, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our series on Bible study from A to Z, the word encouragement, if you will, turn to John chapter 6. We see here the Lord teaching us about how his body is actually bread of life. The way he's explaining it, that we need to take him in, that we need to consume him. And in John chapter 6, verse 35, it reads, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That is some wondrous words of encouragement right there. Is that whoever comes to him, he's not going to cast him out. That's why he says to whosoever. The opportunity of salvation is to all mankind that will come to him, that will respond to the call of the Father, the work of the Holy Ghost, calling people in. We merely need to respond to that, and he will not cast us out. Verse 38, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Another interesting point I want to bring out here is, I came down from heaven. Speaking of here, the deity of Jesus Christ, as we've spoke of lately about creation and so forth, Jesus Christ is the one who spoke everything into existence. He's always been around. It isn't that he just began his existence at Christmas. He came down to do a job that the Father had set up for him to do, and that was to die on a cross for us, to give us the wondrous opportunity for salvation. Verse 39, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up it up again at the last day. Talking about how we will all be able to be born into a new glorious body, which is definitely encouraging to know that we have a glorified body to look forward to in the last day. As he continues in verse 40, And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Once again, reference to us being able to be resurrected into a glorified body and be able to be with the Lord for eternity as well. As it continues over in John chapter 10, we can see some more awesome words of encouragement. In John chapter 10, verse 1, is verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This is alluding to the fact that when you become a truly born-again Christian, that the Lord indwells you with a level of awareness and enlightenment where you know what is right, what is wrong, what is true, and what is false. And when you hear a false teacher, you recognize that that's a false teacher. And that's what he's speaking of here. And a false preacher, false pastor, false teacher, false prophet, whatever it might be, when you're truly in tune with your relationship with Jesus Christ, you become so highly aware and enlightened that you will not follow the false teachers. Now, does this mean everybody's always has perfect understanding and knowledge? And no, it doesn't. But when you get to the point of being a mature Christian, well endowed with the understanding that the Lord can provide you with, then you reach this level of being able to not be fooled by the false teachers. Granted, there's a lot of new Christians out there. There's a lot of people that are entered into the ministry that are even at higher levels of the ministry that have not really reached a level of maturity and have not reached a point where they fully understand what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. So there's still a lot of folks out there getting tripped up, a lot of folks out there getting led away. But that doesn't mean they're not born-again Christians. It merely means that they haven't matured yet. They haven't grown yet. They haven't reached that level of understanding that the Lord can provide them with when they stay on the straight and narrow, when they listen up to the truth and not get fooled by the lies. So know and understand that when you are truly tight with the Lord, when you're truly prayed up and listening to the Holy Ghost, you will understand and know the truth when you hear it and the false teachers when you hear them. As he continues about this subject of sheep and shepherds, verse 6, he puts it, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." They had not yet reached a level of understanding and maturity. As he continues, "Then said Jesus unto them again," giving them a little bit more of a parable, a little bit more of an understanding. And note how he speaks about subjects that they would be familiar with, shepherds and sheep. As he continues, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Note, he is the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the one and only good shepherd. Any man on the planet that ever claims that he is a shepherd is a liar, is a false shepherd, is what he calls up here thieves and robbers that he speaks of in verse 8. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy." Selfish individuals, selfish, haughty, puffed up, arrogant people that call themselves a shepherd and have a congregation that is their flock and they follow that shepherd, that is antichrist, that is against God, that is a sacrilege. The only one and true shepherd is Jesus Christ. Never call anybody else your shepherd, your father, as Holy Father, like some of the Catholics like to do. No one is your shepherd except Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're following a false shepherd, you're following an antichrist. "The thief cometh out but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And that's a key point. Is the individual that you are following, that you call a shepherd, willing to lay down their life for you? I dare say not. Verse 12. "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd," note, a hireling, they're in it for the money. They're in it for their own selfish, greedy gain. They're in it for their own glory. "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." Oh, haven't we seen this in so many times? You have a church setting where you have somebody comes in, and they proclaim themselves a shepherd, and the flock is following them, and then things don't go quite his way, or her way, or their way, and they decide to skip out. Head out of there. Go find somebody else to rip off for a while. And then the sheep might start to follow them. And then they realize that, hey, this guy's not truthful at all. He's in it for his own gain. And then they fall apart. They scatter. Read that one again. But he that is a hireling, just in it for the money. You sure see a lot of folks in the ministry that are just in it for the money. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. That wolf can be of many different things. And leaveth the sheep. Heads out, leaves the church. Some follow, some don't. And fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Fallen apart. Sad to say, there's too many times you see churches fall down this dangerous pathway. They lift up a pastor and start to follow and worship that pastor rather than Jesus Christ. And then that pastor gets all the money he wants, or things start not to go his way, and he skips out and goes try to start another one someplace else and find some more unsuspected victims to follow him. Sad, 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 but it happens way too often. Jesus Christ proclaims here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, known of his. Those that are truly born again Christians follow Jesus Christ, not a so-called reverend, or pastor, or preacher. No one else but Jesus Christ. And no one ever should take on the title of shepherd, because that is only for Jesus Christ. As well as the title of reverend. You should never express a reverend anybody, because the only one that we should revere is Jesus Christ. God deserves our reverence. No man on this planet. And the arrogant, puffed up, haughty bunch that love to have reverend on their title will someday pay for that. A little pet peeve of mine there. But anyhow, as we continue here in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So that's the key difference there, that Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Emphasizing specifically there that the opportunity of salvation going to all mankind, because here he was speaking to the Jews, and he was letting the Jews know here that this was going to be going out to all mankind. Other fold is talking about the rest of the world, the Gentiles, and so forth. And emphasize once again at the end in there where it says, one shepherd. One shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one and only. Verse 17, therefore doeth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No one killed Jesus Christ. He gave up the ghost. They crucified, they tortured him, they beat him, they brutalized him, hung him on that cross. But the moment of the death, he gave up the ghost. And he rose from that grave the third day, stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest. And that is definitely encouraging. And to know that he is the one and only to follow, only follow Jesus Christ. Can you respect or honor someone else that's down here that's doing a good work? Sure. We have good examples of respectable people throughout the ages that deserve our respect. But never, ever lift them up as a holy father or as a reverend or as a shepherd. That's only for Jesus Christ. That's something that so many people fall into the trap of, lifting up other men and women as being something great. Very, very dangerous to do that. Respect them, honor them, sure, no problem. Acknowledge that somebody's done a good work, that's okay. But never lift them up as someone that you need to follow as your shepherd. It's only for Jesus Christ. That's the point I want to make here. And it's very encouraging to know that Jesus Christ is the true shepherd that we can truly follow. And he'll never let us down. He'll never discourage us. And he's not in it for the money, like so many others that are out there that have come along and called themselves Reverend and Holy Father and Shepherd. All right, now turn on over there to John chapter 11. A couple of verses here which are extremely encouraging. This is Jesus Christ speaking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, right before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And here we see some awesome words of encouragement to know that he has power and authority of resurrection, just like he was teaching us. And now here in John chapter 11 and verse 25, reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the question, believest thou this? These two verses are so awesome right here. Jesus Christ proclaiming the authority that he has, that he is the resurrection, that he is the life, and that whosoever believeth in him, we must believe in him. And this is far more than just a head knowledge or an acknowledgement of the existence of Jesus Christ. This is by living in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes into you in the form of the Holy Ghost, and you are born again, spiritually alive. And in that, you become in Jesus Christ, him in you and you in him. And that is sealed, and that is permanent. And that he is the resurrection. He proved that. He rose from the grave. And he has promised us eternal life, a resurrection from the human, mere human existence we have now into an enlightened, into an transformed, into a glorified body. And that's what we have to look forward to for eternity as born again Christians. He has that authority and he can do it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That never die, never ever again being separated from Jesus Christ. Is this truly what we got to think about when we think about life and death? I know I've said this many times, but life is connection. Death is separation. So when you have life, you have physical life, you're connected with your body. In a spiritual life, you're connected with Jesus Christ. So we never die. We're never disconnected from Jesus Christ. When we receive that glorified body, we'll have that glorified body. We'll never be separated from our glorified body existence. Whatever Jesus Christ chooses to be, he is going to allow us to be that way. And it is so awesome that he has done that for us. Now let's look over here at some other awesome words of encouragement that we find in John chapter 14. Now he's already told us about resurrection, he's already told us about life, and now he's telling us about how he is going to come back and receive us to be with him. Here teaching the disciples and the around him in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's so awesome that we need to know and understand that we don't have to be troubled. We see all the chaotic things that are going on in the world today. We see all the horrible things that are happening in politics and in the world concerning the hatred, the racism, the pandemic, the thieving, the lying, the burning, the rioting. So many horrible things are going on all around us, all around the whole world, the evil wars and the rumors of wars, the abortion, the abuse, so many horrible things. you could really get bogged down and troubled. But here he tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be worried about it. Don't be troubled. Concerned? Yes. Make a difference. Help. Spread the gospel. Share the love. Shine the light. But don't be troubled by all the chaotic things that are going around there. No, ultimately, Jesus Christ is in control. Everything is being done for a purpose. And let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's, of course, Jesus Christ. And now he tells us about some of the promises that he has for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. When we truly know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we know he is going to be with the Father, and we know that he's going to come back and get us. That is very encouraging, and to let us know that we don't have to be worried, we don't have to be troubled. These people that are cowering in fear, so horribly afraid of dying, they don't have the true assurance of their salvation. They don't have the true assurance that Jesus Christ loves and cares for them and is going to take care of them for eternity. They're worried about dying. A truly prayed up, born again Christian that has everything right with the Lord is not afraid to die. The Lord gives them peace. I have been with people, many people, right at the moment of their death. I have touched people as they passed away. And I have seen people react, oh, so many different ways. Some folks cowering in fear, just trembling, worried, desperately worrying about what was going to happen next. And others that went out so peacefully because they had assurance. They knew they were prayed up. They did not worry about leaving this realm. They did not worry about dying in this physical body because they knew they were going to live forever with Jesus Christ. It's amazing the people that I have seen that have that assurance, how peacefully they pass from this world. And it's very encouraging. And to go out with a smile and comfort and peace. And that's available to us. If you truly trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you truly know that you can depend on His words that are written in the Holy Bible that He has preserved for us, stand on them, understand them, study them, know them, and you'll have that confidence, you'll have that assurance, you'll have the ability to, as it says here, let your heart not be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be overly concerned. Don't be worried. Don't be worried about this virus. Don't be worried about the world's persecution on you as a Christian. You don't have to worry about it when you got things right with Jesus Christ. And that's what we can take, this assurance that we find in His Word, the encouraging that we can find in His Word, and know that we are precious in the sight of the Lord. And that He is going to be there for us at that moment when we leave here to give us that peace that passeth all understanding, to give us that calmness, to give us that assurance, to give us that joyfulness at the moment that you're leaving this realm. That is what you can have when you truly trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and hang on to His words and know you don't have to be worried. And know that He's going to give us a glorified body that we're going to be able to utilize during the millennial period. And then we're going to be able to go over into eternity in the brand new earth, the new heaven and new earth, and be with Jesus Christ for eternity. So much to look forward to as born-again Christians. And this world and this realm, and this time that we're in, is so brief, so short. It's a vapor, like James tells us. It's just here and gone. So don't get too hung up about this life. Take every opportunity the Lord gives you to bring honor and glory to Him, to encourage others, to use the words that we've learned and studied and share those with others. And don't have any doubt. Stand on the assuring fact that Jesus Christ loves and cares for you. Let's read this again in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that is wondrous right there. That is awesome. That is encouraging that we can be confident that we will be with Jesus Christ. Imagine that, that we will be able to be with Jesus Christ, the one that has the ultimate authority, the one that spoke everything into existence. Wherever he chooses to be has to be something way beyond what we could ever imagine. And he's going to allow us to be there with him. That is awesome. That is very encouraging. And as he tells us here, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. What is the way? The way is by way of Jesus Christ. Because if you believe him, which was the qualifier right from the beginning, then you know the way. The way is by Jesus Christ. There is no other way to that, just by Jesus Christ. It isn't that we all coexist, all the various religions. They've all come together and worship the same thing. Nope, that's sacrilege, that's Antichrist. Jesus Christ, you're either with him or you're against him. Simple as that. And in that, he gives us oh so much more. As we continue to study chapter 14, we'll see how he gives us the Holy Ghost, indwells us with the Spirit of truth. That way we know the truth when we hear it, and we can utilize the truth, and we can grow closer and closer to God, and have a tighter and tighter relationship, and be more and more joyful, and be more and more peaceful, all the way up to the moment of our death. To go out of here with a smile on your face, knowing where you're going to be for eternity. And that is so awesome. And that is definitely encouraging. So I leave you with those words where he says, let not your heart be troubled. Very encouraging. Don't be worried. Lift it up. Give it to the Lord. He'll give you the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your words. They are truly encouraging. And help us all know that they are accessible here to us, still here in this country, even though we know there are many that are on an uprise to try to restrict what Christians have available to them. More and more persecution around the world, more and more people not being able to study your word. But we also know that when we trust in you, that you indwell us with your Holy Spirit, and that you can teach us through that. That is so encouraging as well. We thank you oh so much. Encourage all of us to go out and share your words of encouragement with others as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.